Download it for your listening pleasure. This is the Tim and Jess podcast.
The show is all thanks to the Gordon. Your future, your hands. Study at the Gordon.
Tim, speaking of studying at the Gordon, I know I almost never mention it, but I'm actually studying it. I'm not a student.
I'm not sighing because you talk about it a bit. I'm sighing because it sounds illegal.
It does. It sounds like they're paying me to do this. I cannot stress enough how much I've paid for this course.
Yes. That's just, I know, I just feel like when I thank our sponsors,
yeah,
maybe we shouldn't talk about the course, but I know it's not your time. Yeah. But yeah, you are starting to become a celebrant.
I am becoming a celebrant, yes. I'm very excited to do so. I'm really excited to hopefully be able to perform some weddings next year. And so in doing that, I do need somewhere to study because right. I've been kind of, halfway between my sewing table and my kitchen table.
Well, I'll tell you what, the sewing table would be an ideal place for it to go, Jess, because that sewing machine hasn't been plugged in for 3 years.
You're not the only person in my life who's pointed this out to me, Tim.
Can I just say as well, I'm furious you didn't have this brainwave 4 years ago to become a married celebrant. I would have had you.
You would not have.
Absolutely had you as my celebrant.
So. I've been wanting to do it for years and I just hadn't pulled the trigger yet, but that would have been excellent. So the other day I decided, okay, fine, enough's enough. We're putting the sewing machine away and I'm going to really set this table up to be my desk.
Well, setting up a home office, I've never had to do it because I don't have a real job. but my wife, she works from home for the company that she runs. And like, I love watching her set it up. And you treat this room like it's not part of the house.
Yeah.
And it's fun like doing little things in there and being like, that's a little office space.
Okay. Unfortunately, our office space is taken by my husband.
Oh, men. Oh, not again, men.
He's like, I work from home. I need an office. So.
Well, I mean, he does work every day. So that kind of makes sense. You study every now and then.
Yeah. So I've moved the sewing table to a position that sits right out front of his office. It's this little nook that wasn't really being used for anything. And you've been to my house.
I assume you wanted to have eye line with him.
Well, that's just an added perk, right? So I moved this desk and I've set it all up and I got myself like a little mouse and a keyboard because the mouse on my computer stopped working. Anyway, it's been a whole thing. I've set myself up and then the other day I was sitting at the table and I realized that, yes, I am in the direct eye line of my husband, Akshay, while he's working.
A real job.
It was the first time that he was at his desk while I was also studying.
Just two business people conducting business.
And that's what I said to him. I called him from my phone as if it was an intercom. I was like, is there anything I can get for you, sir?
You've immediately relegated yourself to secretary.
Why did I do that?
You could have been the CEO. You could have been the head honcho, Jess.
And now he started to treat me like a secretary. Like the other day, I was sitting at my desk studying and he said, oh, I've got this appointment next Tuesday. Can you just put it in the calendar? What? You have access to the calendar? Put it in yourself. But I did it to myself, Tim. I made myself the secretary. Now I'm the secretary and he's the CEO.
Yeah, I have raised issues with, I was like, what are you, I can see you doing something on the computer. You're like, I'm just booking my husband's haircut. And then, we're visiting some friends, so I'm putting it in his calendar for him. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I know before I was joking when I was like, man, but now I'm like, ooh, man. this is not ideal, Jess.
So, like, there's nowhere else in the house I can put this desk other than being directly out front of his office as if I am his personal secretary.
Yeah.
But it's changed the dynamic of our relationship. It really has.
I think you're going to have to stop studying. It's the only way I can see you getting out of this. I think you're gonna have to do something else because I don't know. I feel icky.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, I'll have two sandwiches, a cup of water while you're at it.
I'm not working right now.
I know you're not. Trust me. But thank you for saying it out loud.
This is Tim and Jess.
I know school has gone back. Every school across Geelong, Surf Coast, and the Bellarine probably back today after a couple of weeks off for school holidays. I was having this conversation with you earlier today before the show. So you get two breaks when you're in school, right?
Yeah.
The big one being lunch. Lunch is like, what, 45 minutes?
Oh, I think, 45 minutes for an hour,
40
depending
to
on
an
the
hour.
School. Yeah.
And then there's the one earlier in the day. And I've found out not every school calls it recess.
Sure.
Apparently, it can be called little lunch.
Oh.
Or play lunch.
Yeah. Play lunch is what we called it.
So you had play lunch and then lunch.
At high school, it was recess.
Okay.
Like we got recess and lunch.
Right.
But at primary school, we had play lunch and then lunch.
Your argument fell through, and I think your face realized it as you were saying. I was like, why is it called play lunch? Now answer that question again.
Because I said at the play lunch, you play, you don't have a lot to eat.
Yep.
And then at lunch, you eat your food. But then, you also play.
But you play more at lunchtime because you have more time to play.
Yeah.
A lot of people are saying in primary school it was called play lunch. Growing up into high school, then that's when it became recess. And I even had someone, because I put this up on the socials, someone said, yeah, in the 70s and 80s in Ballarat, that's what we did, play lunch. That's really nice. I was glad to see that. But 52232955, is little lunch...
Little lunch or play, is so cute.
Or play lunch. Is that what, what are schools across Geelong, Surf Coast,
and what Ballarine? Are we calling it?
Or is it just recess and lunch?
Maybe there's a new term we don't even know, Tim.
It's like when, you go interstate and in, so we have prep here before grade one.
Oh, reception?
In South Australia, reception.
Yuck.
That's where you go when you want to enter the school. You go into reception and then that's where, I don't know. I understand everyone's allowed to do it differently, but it's throw me for a loop. 52232955. Is it little lunch? Is it play lunch? Or is it recess? Would love to get kind of I want to know what schools
consensus.
Are doing. Because I know that it's 5 years away, but where am I going to send my son to school?
Not to the place that calls it little lunch.
Absolutely
that's for
not.
Sure. Matilda from Ocean Grove. Matilda, you have a different term altogether. You don't use any of those.
Snack.
I love snack.
It's so funny you say that, Matilda. I've just looked at our Instagram direct messages, and I just had three messages that said snack.
Really?
So you have snack. Because we had fruit time, but that was before recess. So it's you have snack, and then you have lunch, Matilda.
Yeah.
What grade are you in, Matilda?
Grade five.
Okay.
I like snack and then lunch because it really, it tells you what it is.
That's
you know?
What I have my pizza.
Have a little snack.
Little bag of pizza shapes.
Yeah.
An apple.
And then you have your sandwich.
Yeah.
At lunch.
Oh, thank God. Sorry, the look I gave
you. No. If you eat your lunch at snack, you've got nothing at lunch.
And you're a silly sausage. Matilda, you're not a silly sausage, are you?
No.
Yeah, thank you. All right, Matilda, thank you so much for your call. Caleb from Thompson, not a child, has given us a call. Caleb. When you were at school or with your kids.
Caleb's currently at a different kind of school, right, Caleb?
Yes, I'm Tim. I'm currently at trade school, which is a type of school, Tim.
Yeah, and, I know.
What trade are you learning, Caleb?
Landscaping.
Oh, lovely.
I was going to say, hopefully it's manners.
Yeah.
I'm a tradie.
He's a tradie. And what do you call recess, Caleb?
We call it smoker.
I had a feeling.
Smoker and then lunch? Or is it just smoker all day?
Smoker and then lunch.
Yeah, stunning. I love that.
I love that they're like, look, we're putting you in the workforce. Trades are the backbone of a lot of industries and we're supporting them. But boy, they need two breaks at least.
Yeah.
We don't want to shock them too much. They need to have smoker and they need to have lunch. Mm-hmm. So are you taking a packed smoker, Caleb?
Yeah, I do. I take my little bag of pizza shapes and maybe some yogurt.
Caleb, you and I,
and banana.
To your full frustration, are so much more similar than I think you want to admit. Over the years, you've always called up and you've always tried to push my buttons. I feel like we're the same type of person.
Caleb, do you know what Tim has for Smoko?
Little bag of pizza shapes.
Yeah, and a little box of Sultanas.
Little box of Sultanas. By the kids' boxes.
Might neighbouring the banana chips out.
So, yeah, that'd be fun. Caleb. All right. Well, I'll see you on Smoko, mate.
I'll see you Friday.
All right. Perfect. I like it.
Jess and Tim. Oh, wait. Sorry. It's Tim and Jess.
Tim, for the last week and a half, you've really committed to learning your instruments.
I've just thought, trumpet, how hard could it be? I have a history of learning instruments and trying to learn how to play the Cats theme song.
Mm-hmm.
I've done it successfully so far with the recorder, harmonica, and with the flute. Trumpet is the next on the list.
Successful is a strong argument to put
forward. Possible, sorry. It could be perceived as music is where we're kind of leveling.
Now, we've got a big performance planned for this Friday.
We'll get to details later on, yeah.
But to bring us, you know, see how far you've really come.
Yeah.
We've got Dan, the trumpet man, from the Itchy Feet Band. Dan, thank you so much for coming into the studio today.
No worries at all, guys. Nice to see you in person.
Yes, we appreciate all the help hooking us up with the trumpet as well. Now, your band, I saw you at GMHBA Stadium against the Hawks a few weeks ago. You did seem a little bit busy to come and say hi. familiar face across Geelong, at least for around footy. But you've had a few years' experience with the trumpet, from what we understand. How long have you been playing it for?
I picked it up year 7, 1994. So, you know, quite a while ago. Good old St. Joey's, you know, they threw a trumpet in my hands.
Excellent.
And away we go. So I've been playing professionally since, you know, about year 2000, when I knocked off high school and uni. Okay. And all that kind of stuff.
So just a few more years on you, Tim.
Well, just for context, when you started playing, I was 1.
Yep.
So being born in 1993, but that's fine. So I don't know how much you've been listening, but I think Jess and I both are of the same opinion. I think a few messages coming through on Facebook, at least, is the best I probably was the day I got the trumpet. And I think it's just gotten...
It seems to be going down.
Going backwards.
Can you settle an argument for us, Dan?
Yes.
Does the trumpet need to be tuned?
When you're playing with other people, yes.
Uh-huh. Right.
But on its own, no. If you're just playing solo, like whenever I do, the last post or something like that. Like,
epic.
You know, I usually use a bugle, but you can do it on a trumpet as well. But yeah, so it doesn't need to be tuned on its own.
I feel like
it feels really like Tim needs to tune it.
Honestly, do you not agree? I think I would thrive more on the bugle.
Less finger work.
Less finger work, just more blow work.
Yes.
I feel like I appreciate the notes that you've given, the video you sent through for my homework. I haven't been able to practice at home as much as I was hoping.
Yep.
My just under one-year-old son hasn't necessarily been vibing the noise. and we were just saying before we came on air, Jess, two genuine complaints that I'm causing a scene here in the workplace.
Turns out this studio isn't as soundproof as we once thought
it was. Thought it would be, yeah.
So what I thought would be important we do now is we're about to go to a break, but Jess, should I play to the best of my ability right now, We Are Geelong, and then Dan has the song to sit on that and then give some notes about where I can improve.
I think let's do that.
Because I don't want to put you on the spot in a couple of minutes. I think now is probably the best time to do that.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. So I'm
just gonna get my got sheet this music here. Yeah, he's got his music.
All right. I'm so nervous playing in front of you, Dan. It's all right.
Well, get used to it because we're having a crowd on Friday.
All right. Here we go. What's the thing where you put your sheet music on, Dan? I need one of those.
A liar.
A liar. Because I've just been putting it on Jess's back with sticky tape. So, all right.
Either way.
Here we go. Again, this is about a week with the trumpet.
Well done.
All right, so don't race to give feedback. We're going to go to a song, and the other side, is there any notes that you could think of passing on
right now?
Just without saying them, are there notes?
Yes.
Okay.
I think genuinely that's the best I've heard it yet. So
thank you. I needed that.
Dan, we just heard Tim's rendition of the Cats theme song. Have you got any feedback for him just based on hearing that?
Look. For a week and a half of playing, I'm actually going to give you about an 8 out of 10.
Wow. Look at his little face.
I am genuinely impressed.
Yeah.
So, yep.
What my problem is, and Jess called me out on it, is when it starts to sound good, what I do is I take my mouth off the trumpet, look for praise, and then returning, I'm so not focused that then I lose it. Because I understand what you mean, because in the video you sent, it was like how you meant to hold your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, all right, do it like this. And then when I lose focus, I just become like a sloppy clown and it's all over the place.
Yep, that's pretty much how it goes down.
The big thing is
in the trumpet world now, Tim.
Yeah, yeah. That's how it pretty much happens. Like it's more so with flute players, but definitely with trumpet players. The moment you start to smile, that's when your tone and your pitch and everything starts to go
away. So yeah. So less smiling, more crying. I've been because I have been rattling off.
Well,
that.
There may not have been tears involved just then, but you know we'll scoot past that. Yeah. Yeah. So. I was really impressed with the opening. You started really strong, mate. Like you had the embouchure and everything like that. You know,
yeah, the embouchure, Jess. Yeah, do you not know what the embouchure is?
Yeah, no, sorry. For those who don't know, what is that?
The embouchure is what you're doing with your lips and your face. So okay. The embouchure is what creates the buzz. Yeah.
Without sounding disrespectful, Jess. Duh. So I've got until essentially at the end of the week. I don't know exactly where I will be performing, but it will be in a public space from what I understand. Jess has given me three choices, but essentially I've been told that is now out of my hands. I'll be told where I'm performing.
I have decided. Well, the people have decided, Tim. We've had a few messages through on our socials at K-Rock Geelong. People very strongly suggesting one location in particular.
One final thing I'll get from you, Dan, before we let you get out of here for the day. Do I need to be giving it more? Am I holding back?
What happens is, and I believe it's tied to you getting more and more excited about getting it right, is the further on the song went, you started focusing less and less about what your chops or your lips are doing and also not pushing enough air through the horn.
Because I was trying to read the sheet music. Because it does. The second half is quite complex.
It is. Look, to be honest, a trumpet beginner, normally I give them, you know, like 2 or 3 months to get the first 5 notes of a scale, so 5 notes. But to play the Geelong theme song, you're going to need way more than that.
All right.
So you've done really, really well.
Right now, if this was your ability, would you feel confident to perform in front of people?
the silence does everything. It really does.
Yeah.
If it was a paid gig, how would you be feeling about taking the money?
Yeah, I'd be taking the money and running.
Okay. All right. Good notes, Jess.
I cannot stress enough, not a paid gig.
All right. Well, Dan, genuinely, the Trumpet Man, thank you so much for swinging by. We are going to get you back tomorrow for a bit of fun because actually Dan sent me a great idea for a game, Jess, we're going to play tomorrow on the show. So, and this, I think, just helps develop my trumpeteering skills.
Yeah, it's just a good practice for you.
Absolutely. Dan, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks, guys.
This is Tim and Jess.
Tim, would you say you're an early riser or a late to bed, like an up all nighter?
I mean, like you and I used to work early morning, like to do a brekkie radio show for a long time. Before that, I probably would say I was an early riser. Now I definitely still consider like 6:30 is a huge.
That's a sleep in, is it?
Well, no, that's not. It's just it'd be great. Like if we sleep to 6:30, that's like nice. We did it.
God.
You know, our son's about to turn one, and he's figuring his sleep out. So yeah, we'll take 6:30. But yeah, early risers, and I like getting stuff done. I don't know if it's how I grew up. Like sometimes I just feel like if I wake up late, you go, well, there's it. I feel like I've missed a third of the day.
Sure.
If I'm not up and around by 8 a.m.
Does that mean that you go to bed early as well?
Oh, God, no.
So that you can get up early?
So many things to do.
Okay.
Like it's like tidying, it's cleaning, and, you know, we don't eat dinner till around like 7:30, 8 o'clock, just getting stuff done.
So maybe you're not a part of this new study because this new research.
It didn't get sent to my mailbox, so maybe not.
New research has been done that people who stay up late are more intelligent than early risers.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So does that mean I am, but I'm not at the exact same time?
Well, so the whole study is that, you know, people that go to bed early so they can get up early, they would struggle with, you know, these tasks that were involved in the research.
Oh, so they would get asked to do the same task, but people either would wake up early or people that wake up later.
Yes.
Okay.
So people that go to bed later and wake up later apparently performed these cognitive tasks better than those who are early risers.
I don't know why, but like I don't know how your brain goes, but I see things that I can get done during like regular business hours as more productive time than having free time like after 6 p.m. because I can't go to the bakery. Like, you know, I can't go to the candlestick maker.
Sure.
I can't do it. Like it's like, yeah, I can get things done around
You're
home.
You're often at the candlestick maker, are you?
But I can't like run around and do errands outside of like standard 8 a.m. to kind of 6 p.m.
See, I'm the complete opposite. Right. We get home from work, you know what, 6:30 at the latest.
Because we leave here at 6:01. We're out of here before Will started his news.
I'll make some dinner, and then I want to get everything done before I go to bed.
I don't want
to leave anything to, oh, I'll wake up in the morning and I'll get it done tomorrow before work. Nah, not going to happen. So I make sure I get everything done. You know, I've been studying at the moment with Gordon. You know, I do dinner. I might meal prep for the next day. I get everything done. I clean the whole house.
And your husband's there cheering you along, going, yeah, babe, you got this.
Supervising.
Have you seen this episode of The Boys? This is really good. I think you'll enjoy it later on when you've done these jobs.
It turns out, because I am going to bed a little bit later and then waking up later, I'm more intelligent.
I've been thinking it for a while.
Everyone has been. It's nice to get some confirmation, though, right?
You know, you weren't in this study, as I wasn't either.
Sure.
And anytime, actually, but like historically, to be fair to you completely, anytime we've done an IQ test, you and I always come essentially neck and neck, but you're always like 1 point heavier than me because I think the pressure gets to
and
me.
And you never admit that I'm smarter than you. If you just once, just admit that I'm smarter
than
you.
Well, I also have never admitted that I'm the king of France because it wouldn't be a factual statement, Jess.
The study also did recognize that people who got at least 8 hours of sleep did better performance-wise as well. So whether you're an early riser or a late riser.
8 hours is the key thing.
You need to be getting sleep is the thing. So you going to bed late and waking up early, not great for your life.
No, yes, thank you. I was about to correct you and save my life. But yeah, you know, like, it's all right. As I've said, I'll never die.
Of course.
So it's not like I need to worry about that.
Keep going.
Yes.
You're killing it.
That's why I go to the candle store. I'm burning it at both ends.
Come on. Oh, thanks, guys. You're the best.
That concludes another thrilling edition of the Tim and Jess podcast.